Yes.
We just bless Victor today. Yes, bless the word of the Lord, Father, that it would flow swiftly. It'll be stirred up from the passion and the love of you, Father, that dwells deep within Victor. Yes. Lord, his heart for you is just larger than ever. So we just bless that whatever he brings today, Lord, will be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and that fire would be on his words, and that many lives get impacted, encouraged, and transformed today in Jesus' name. Bless you, Victor. We're going to drop off screen here now. So go ahead.
Praise God. It's great to be here this morning and wanting to realize what God says to us. Communication is my title, or yada, yada, yada in Hebrew. I'm speaking this morning from a word that God gave me in December 2021 about communication for the nations and for how we speak and how we do things. Some of the quotes I'm going to share below are quotes that are impactful. The truest communication with God is absolute, total silence. Sometimes we might find it hard to be silent. There is not a single word in existence that can convey this communication. And that was Bernadette Roberts. God longs intensively for unhindered communication and total response between him and the believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. Christians have forgotten that the ministry of listening has been committed to them by him who is himself the great listener, and whose work they should share. We should listen with ears of God that we may speak the word of God. And that was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The biggest communication problem is that we do not listen to understand. We listen to reply or give what we think is the right answer. Why? So that we may look good, feel good, and impress those around us. With the vast amount of communication around us and how we interact with people all over the world at the touch of a button, at the flick of our fingers, it is sure has made the world feel so small, connecting to all parts of the world now. We can text, we can message, we can FaceTime, we can WhatsApp, we can send messages. And in my day, we actually wrote letters and sent them by post. Snail mail, it's called today. And yet we're more isolated than ever before. We're lonely and immersed in our small cliques of friends, or our so-called friends, in social media. We can be that superhero who we always wanted to dream about in our own small world. And we can communicate that so clearly and so comprehensively. We can also send people's fears and weaknesses. We can communicate them. Maybe only giving a small amount or percentage of telling the truth and rest. Well, thought of our ingenious words that sound impressive and informative. Wonderful stuff, this so-called media communication. Yada, yada, yada. Or I know, I know, I know, is a saying that we hear a lot. And it's taken from the word yada, or it means to know intimately, like a husband intimately knows his wife. It's made up of three letters, yod, daleth, and ayin. Yod means it's the hand of God, or a message, or a provision. Daleth is a doorway that opening, or a doorway that's opening. Ayin means the eye, or the fountain, or the spring. So this word, yada, means to know intimately. Could read like this. When you receive a message from God, he opens a door to your understanding for your thoughts and reasonings to bring a font or a spring of wisdom and understanding out of your life to bring people's relationships closer to God. That's the whole point of communicating as a Christian, is bringing God's communication to the hearts and lives of this generation and the next generation. Yet, when we say, I know, or yada, 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 we are saying that we know everything that there is to know of a given situation of circumstances. Maybe we know of a problem and we know about it, or an issue, or simply try and dismiss those thought-provoking words that are affecting us. Sometimes it's the first word out of our lips. As a matter of fact, when someone's giving you, quoting you a fact, you say, yes, I know. And really, that's very dismissive. And I find myself at times slipping back into that mindset. When I'm tired and the subject is boring and uninteresting, or I just want to agree to move on to the next thing. Yet when you begin to listen to what you are hearing from God, you bring his communication and illumination into the lives of that person that you're sitting next to or in front of. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture today because God's word is full of communication. It says in James chapter 1, verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. God has given us two ears. Oh, I love that. To be able to listen in stereo. So often we are assimilating answers even before the other person has finished their sentence. We listen to reply. I'll repeat that. We listen to reply or to respond or to give an answer, to have our say, and then put them right as to what they're saying, whether it's true or fake, or whether it lines up with what we believe. I've been in situations where I've driven miles and miles just to sit and in a room and just listen to someone share what's on their heart, just smile and nod my head. Not that I was listening, but I was listening to the Holy Spirit wanting to come into the situation. That I have nothing to say, no matter what, that would influence the precious person that's opening up their heart. I think in today's society, the art of being able to listen to someone else's view or take on something is truly eye-opening. And the other thing that goes with that is that you're not trying to formulate a response to that person. I've listened to many conversations, and it seems that each person, whether right or wrong, whether they try to outdo, outclass, outgazump each other with their inventive, ingenious, and witty responses. They try to jump into the middle of the conversation, even before the person has finished speaking, trying to put over what their train of thought is, what they believe, what they've been taught, or how they've been molded and shaped and formed. It's the first part of verse 19 in James 1 says, be quick to listen. So much of our values and responses are time limited. We need to do this. We need to be at this place in 10 minutes. I can only have 5 minutes to do this, which doesn't leave a lot of time for listening to what is actually being said. You find more and more that conversations become short and limited and sparse and very straight to the point. But this has been driven by today's environment and society. we are brought up in. It's the SSS syndrome. Short, sharp, and straight to the point. That's what people look for. That's what people want. That's what your managers look for. That's what teachers look for. The SSS syndrome. Short, sharp, and straight to the point. They don't want any fluffing around. They don't want to know the ins and outs, the details. That can be for someone else to look at. But all they are interested in is being short, sharp, and straight to the point. The second part of verse 19 says, be slow to speak. I had a problem with that. I was always quick to speak. I was always quick to retaliate or quick to say something and bounce something back. But that's not there. Be slow to speak. That's a double whammy. If our response was to be slower than that, than what is of the norm, but right in the eyes of God, then we would have taken on board what was said in the first instance. Be quick to listen. And what was that? Yes, you got it. We were firstly listening, not trying to appear to be listening. Are we mulling over the things that are said? Or are we listening with intentionality, with integrity, and with focus and purpose? What was said? And then bring a well-balanced response at what the person is saying. Maybe they just need to offload what they're saying from their on their heart. And they feel that to do that with you or do that with me is safe. Isn't that food for thought? Are people safe around us? The third part of verse 13 says, be slow to anger. What do you mean by that? I don't get annoyed. I don't get angry. Would you just hurry up and do that? Would you get that? Would you do this? Would you do that? I don't get uptight. But don't they know that my time is precious and I have a lot of things to do? I've got a lot of places to go, a lot of people to see. They're just taking my time up. Don't they get it? What I'm saying, I know I'm right. They just need to agree. Are some of the thoughts that people have said to me. The other thing that happens is that we thought maybe it could be a 5-minute conversation and it lasts 50 minutes. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and it goes on and on and on. We have been so constricted by time in our daily living that it affects everything that we do and say. We come to a conclusion that only after the first sentence of what the person is speaking about, we have the answer for the whole situation, for the whole scenario. In today's society, doctors are advised to take no more than 10 minutes to see, examine, and diagnose a patient. Is that the guidelines that we use to communicate or listen to others who share and talk to us? Is that what we boiled it down to? I can only give you 10 minutes, 10 minute slots for this and 10 minute slots for that. The quote I read earlier is spot on. We listen to reply and not necessarily listen. Sure, that's just too much time consuming in our modern day lifestyles. Don't you realize I'm busy? I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing the other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through to 18 says, rejoice always. I always love that verse. Rejoice always. Never stop rejoicing. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Oh, that's a big effort. That's a big thing. I don't know if I could pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There, that's the communication channel between man and God. Isn't that just a wee bit too ridiculous? Giving thanks in all circumstances, in every situation. Do you not think that's a wee bit over the top? You're asking too much there. What are my first thoughts when I find myself in this situation? What can I say? What can I do? Or what can I change? Maybe you start your speech, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, how you woke up, how you got out of bed, who's been annoying you, what have you been listening to? And the list could go on and on and on. Oh, that's too much time I've spent there already. Oh, there's an extremely large amount of Christians who can't get their heads around the fact of praying continually. Communication is keeping the airwaves open and free from rubbish, keeping a short dialogue with Papa God during the day and the night, if possible. It helps you hear from him, understand what he's talking about, and gives you a knowing and a revelation of what your response is to be. You can pray in tongues in the power of the Holy Spirit. This enables you to weaponizes your prayers of Father God. That when you wait for him to send the actions, he sends responses, he sends the intel, he sends answers to your prayers. Also, when we pray in tongues, it's our prayer language that goes straight to the Father, and our enemy hasn't a clue as to what we are praying. But he sees the results of our prayers, praise God. Prayer builds up, it edifies, it encourages us, just like what prophecy is to the body of Christ. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, it states this: as a man thinks, so he is. When you are in a difficult situation or your circumstances isn't great, is the first words out of your mouth, "Oh, woe is me. I'm hard done by. I'm innocent. Wasn't my fault. I don't deserve this." It could be that you've been told this all your life, that you're stupid, that you're pathetic, you're useless, and on the scenario plays out. Are you put down by these bullying tactics of the enemy who hates our very existence? When we look at all the bad points or the negative points that we are shown, what is our response? How do we react or have our mistakes shown to others? The enemy wants to destroy us, to pulverize us, to destroy us completely, to wipe us out. How do we react to the situation? How do we react? And do you react? Do you explode? Or do you allow the communication of the Holy Spirit to come into your mind, into your body, into your soul, that declares over you that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus? Be encouraged. God is faithful to those who call or communicate to the Lord. How's your communication today? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. In some circumstances? No. In the good circumstances? No. In those that you only want others to know about? No. In all. All means all. I remember hearing Dr. Brian Simmons make a statement when he was looking up the word all. He had looked up 58 different translations, textbooks, commentaries, and the original text. And he says, come here, do you know what it all means? all means all. And that's what it means. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. That means nothing is left out. Nothing is hid. And nothing is off limits. All means all. Keeping our lines of communication open. Even in the midst of what is going around, all around us. Father God wants to speak to us and communicate to us as his precious children. Proverbs 23 verse 7 states, as a man thinks, so he is. What do you think? How do you think? What do you think on? Where do you go to think? What do you think? When do you think? Or how are we taught to think? Before, during, or after this problem or the issue or the circumstance? God should be our first port of call in every little issue, no matter how small it is or no matter how large it is. Whether it's the problem, a thought, the circumstance, a situation, a feeling, an emotion, an action. As you and I think on the Lord and allow his thoughts and words to saturate from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet and every wiggly bit in between, our lives, allow his word to saturate our lives. His words, God says, will not return to him empty or void, but will accomplish his plans and purposes for our lives. Isaiah 55, verse 11. With God as our central focus, he gives us or reveals to us through the art of communication, resolutions, insights, discernments, revelations, and answers that we are looking for or that we're praying for. Philippians 4 verse 6 states, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, your communications be made known to the Lord. Communication is simply the act of transferring information from one place, one person, one group to another. I'll repeat that. Communication is simply the act of transferring one type of information from one place, from one person, from one group to another. Every communication involves a sender. And that's God for us as Christians. A message and a recipient, that's man, woman, child. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 13 states, then you will call or communicate upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Wow. You and I can come and pray, keeping the lines of communication, the airwaves of heaven open between us and the Lord, that Papa God in his love and grace, his compassion and his tenderness, speaks into areas of our lives and issues of our hearts and mindsets that are not easily resolved. And he brings his peace, his rest, his love, his grace, his mercy into our lives. Because why? We have firstly communicated our heart's desires, our passions, what's troubling us, what's annoying us, what's worrying us, what are we caring about? We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, all scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Let's allow this verse, yes, the breath of God, to penetrate deep into our very state of being and cause it to take root in our lives, that causes you and me to become rooted and grounded more and more in the Lord. We need his breath to survive and to live, that we become stable and well-balanced in him. Not an easy pushover for the enemy to come and intimidate us. Funny thing is, if there's no breath in your body, there's no life. We die. All scripture is inspired by God. Wow, I love that. God was inspired to communicate to us his love, his grace, and his passion through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We either believe it 100% or not at all. It's our choice. We get to choose. When you look at great men and women around us, are you inspired? Do you become inspired with the great things that they've done, with the wonderful things that they've accomplished? Or do they come up short with what they've inspired us to do? Take Eric Liddell, the 400-meter gold medal Olympic runner. He stated when he got to the Olympics, he wouldn't run on the Sabbath. And we look at the film and we see he made a lot of issues and there was a lot of fuss, but they changed. He instead of running in one race, he ran in another race, and he won the medal. And yet, at the age of 43, after being a missionary in China, he died. Yes, his legacy lives on and inspires so many people today that things that are impossible with man are possible with God. John 8, verse 47 reads, "Whoever is of God hears the words or the communications of God." The reason why you don't hear or do not hear is that you are not of God. Whoa, that's a fearful word to read. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. God communicates to his children. You and I are his children. He communicates to them alone, to no one else. Even today, it's keeping those communication channels open with the Lord, not allowing your enemy to derail us, sidetrack us, or lure us away from the communication plans and purposes and calling that the Lord has placed upon our lives. Do you have your ears open? We say yes, but I want to challenge you today. Oh no, here he goes. What's the challenge? I don't know. Have you done everything that the Lord has asked you to do? What about yesterday? What about last week? What about last month? What about last year? Have you obeyed the last communication instructions that you were given? Maybe God spoke to you through a prophetic voice. Maybe God impressed on you a portion of scripture. What has God said to you? Have you bothered even to listen or look it up after you've recorded it? Have you typed it up, meditated on, prayed about it? Or is it just on the put it on the shelf? I'll just put it up there because, well, God might do this. But if he doesn't, I don't really have told. I haven't really told anybody. So no one actually knows about it. I've done that with some words. And God's challenged me. God spoke to me. I've tried to turn the sound off in my ears, but God still speaks to me and challenged me and challenged me and challenged me until I obeyed and took on board what he was saying. And you wonder why God isn't speaking to you today. Maybe you didn't like what God communicated to you, to ask you to do, or places to go. Maybe it's better going to someone else and getting a better word from him. One that doesn't upset your social agenda or the plans that you've made or the work that you're doing. Are you putting on a selective filter on your hearing? We all do that. We all select the bits that are nice and pleasant. And what we agree with, and tear out and leave out the verses or the words that challenge us or want to bring us into a deeper walk with the Lord, because it will mean that we will have to give up some of our pet likes, our favorite pleasures, our social agenda, so that we can hear the word of God for us, and more importantly, for others. How do you communicate with others and with God? Is there two sides to us? One side for God, good side. The other side for ourselves to indulge and wallow in. Scripture commands us to do everything for the glory of God, even in what even in the way we communicate with others. Ephesians 4 verse 29 reads, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What is unwholesome talk? The Greek word is saphros, rotten, worthless, literally or morally, bad or corrupt. What are we talking about? Is it gossiping, communication? What are we implying? Are we twisting the truth in our communication? What is our motivation? Who are we manipulating, or who do we want to put to one side and not have a good report with? What are we wanting to accomplish? What's the driving force behind us? What is our agenda? How will it benefit me? How can I scheme and connive to get it? What I want and what's best for me, me, me. James 1:19 says, no, it's not James 1:19. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ever been in a situation where you have spoken harshly or abruptly and stirred up a real mess in return? Oh, I have. Didn't go down well. I tried to crawl out, tried to apologize, tried to do so many things, but still my communication was said in the wrong spirit. It said harshly and not with a love or gentleness, and it broke so many different things in the person's life. A gentle word. If I had done it gently, it would have diffused the situation that I found myself in. Colossians 4, verse 6 reads, "Let your speech be gracious." And I would add, have 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in there about love. Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Whoa, let's stop right there. Ask yourself a question. Is how I speak or communicate to others full of grace, full of the abundance of Father's love? Of his love in me? If not, why not? We know God says God's love is in us. We have been saved by grace, Ephesians 2, verse 8. And we are called to walk in grace. And we are instructed to allow grace to mature and flow in our lives as his sons and daughters. The definition, I learned this a long time ago. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So if grace is not in my speech, in my language, in my thoughts, in my intellect, in my communications, and they're not filled with God's grace, then what am I filling my life with? It's my choice, and it's our choice. We choose well, choose God, choose grace, choose love. It's a lot easier making good choices than doing your own thing, making bad choices, or trying to be eloquent, using your own words that can sometimes get you into a whole heap of trouble. The word grace is charis or charis in the Greek. It means gracious in a manner or an act, especially the divine influence upon the heart, and as a reflection in the life, including gratitude. We know all too well about the seasoning of salt. It's supposed to be how we flavor our sphere of influence, where we go to work, in the media, in the business world, in the education, in the health, and of course, those who we bump into as we go about our daily walk. Salt, it's used to flavor foods, to make it taste better, and to bring out the best taste of those products that we eat. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, verse 13, "If the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Another Greek word is moranio, to become insipid, loose taste, lacking flavor, weak or tasteless, means to become full, make foolish, and lose savor. I don't know about you, but I want my life to communicate the saltiness of the Word of God, the tastiness of the Word of God in my life, as I live being sold out to Jesus Christ all the days of my life, to behold his glory and his majesty. Pardon me, releasing out in my sphere of influence and communication, a communication that is the word of the Lord for people. It's a lifestyle. It's how you think. It's the way of living. It's who you are in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 13 states, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it become more and more ungodly. Wow, godless chatter simply means empty discussions on useless subjects. I'm going to say, wow, this here just blew my mind away. And I thought that this was very interesting in today's environments. Godless chatter. When you take God out of our communications, they become empty discussions and useless subjects of discussion. Wow. And we read that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Again, that's breaking it down to our communication, how we speak, the way we speak, the manner we speak, the emotional way we speak words out of our mouths. Talking too much can also lead to problems. It's a selfish act and makes it more difficult for the person who you're speaking to listen. The Bible says it leads to trouble. Proverbs 12, verse 18, it says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 10, verse 19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. I always think of the prudent holding their tongues, and they hold it with their fingers going, It's not that. We hold back because God gives us wisdom to speak and when not to speak. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, let what you say be simply yes and no. Anything else, anything more than that, comes from evil. And Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Whoa. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. That might need to go up on my notice board. So that we pause, then we ponder, then we meditate, then we marinate, and then after all that's done, then we speak. Because then the word that God speaks to us has all been digested by our minds, by our emotions, by our desires, by our thoughts, that we can then give what the Lord gives, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We can all put our hands up for trying to hog the conversation or to steer it in the way that we think it should go, or literally to answer before the person had time to finish the sentence. The Lord wants us to be careful as to what we say, how we say or do things. Again, going back to James chapter 1, verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen. How many of us today are quick to listen? Be slow to speak. Oh, how many of us are slow to speak? And slow to become angry. Who's slow to become angry? Being a good listener is important. When we listen, we are focusing 100% on the person. It's almost like a horse in a race puts his blinkers put on, because it takes away all the other distractions that the other riders and horses are doing, and it focuses its vision and purpose on what lies ahead. Being a good listener is focusing 100% on the person, not trying to find an answer or a resolve or a solution. We stop and we listen to what the person is saying. Then, after the person has listened and spoken, then we can ask God, God, what do you want to communicate? What do you want to say? Wow. When someone values your time to open up to you or to open up to me, I'm not going to be rude or I'm not going to be blasé. Time is a precious commodity. We can't take back time. We can't go back in time. The movies are able to take us back in time, and because that's what they can do things like that, make screens and dress people up and things like that. But we can't go back in time. I would love to go back and use my rubber and erase a lot of things that I did, but I can't. Use the time that we have been given wisely. So when someone wants or needs to talk to us, make them feel that they are the most important person right in front of them. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding or communicating, but only expressing in his opinion. There's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of, I think this and I think that and I think the other. And did you hear about this opinion? Did you hear about that opinion? Did you hear about the red stars over the moon and the blue stars over Venus? And there's a lot of opinions and things. When we communicate, do we give people our opinion? Or do we wait and ask God, what should we say? How should we say? Two words spoken through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to a person after we have listened to what they've said, to what they've shared, is better than 1,000 words just spewed out of our lives, spewed out of our mouths without wisdom, reason, or understanding. That could be just our opinions and our rants, which are no good for any man, woman, child, or beast. Learn to know the person speaking to you. They are not just a number. They're someone who is looking, or they're not someone who is looking for what they can get. We can say, yep, yeah, we know. When we talk to or share with people. But I'm finding more and more that it's a bit like yada, yada, yada. I was corrected during the week because I was saying yada, yada, yada. And my Hebrew teacher, Roz, says, no, it's yada, yada. I thought, yada? Okay. So that's the way I pronounce it now. Yada. It's annoying. It's not vain repetitions that is used as a conversation filler. I have spoken with and listened to a variety of different people and have been able, through God's grace and love, tell them that, yes, I know how they feel, how they're coping. Why? Because I've been on a journey that God took me. And it was through his grace he allowed me to walk through some of life's issues of my choosing. I chose them. And he brought me out and out the other side. In his strength and in his wholeness, I challenge each one of you today to be careful how we speak, how we communicate, how our conversations are based on, or what they are based on. If what you speak is your opinion, wait a moment. Ask Papa God what he wants to say. You might be surprised. God still speaks to us today. There is power in our words that brings about change, transformation, life or death. What we do, what do we say when we hear that someone has messed up or has made a mistake or has fallen or off the so-called bandwagon of Christianity? Too often, we get out our enormous swords and cut the person to shreds or just take their heads off and see if they can live like that. Or a famous quote I've heard so many times. I'm saying this or doing this in love, brother. What a pile of rubbish. People are not saying that in love. They're saying that to destroy, annihilate, and make you feel as low as possible. I find that the Christian army is the only army that when someone falls or someone slips up, that people want to jump on them, squash them, and make them feel and live under condemnation the rest of their lives. There's no forgiveness. God is the total opposite. When the person comes to the Lord and asks for forgiveness, he forgives them. What should our response be? How should we communicate to them God's forgiveness, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace? It says, let our communication be pure and holy. What are we or who are we? Even how we say things can have an adverse effect. We can say something sternly, don't do that, or you shouldn't be here. We can come across very angrily, or we could say, don't do that, or you're not supposed to be here. Totally different way of saying things. God wants us to live out of 1 Corinthians 13. We know it's called the love chapter. But do we really live out our lives in our speech, in our language, in our messaging, in our texting, in all of our communicating with others? Do we honor, respect, love, show grace and mercy? Do we live out Philippians 4:14, whatsoever is true, honest, pure, just, lovely, of a good report, any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Wow. Are we living in that verse? Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. This is a verse of scripture that has been challenging me for the whole part of this year. And what we say, what we do, how we say things, how we speak. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 reads, the good person out of his good treasure of his heart produces good fruit. And the evil person out of an evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? What have you allowed in your heart? What have you set aside in your heart to the Lord? What does your heart think about? What does your heart meditate upon? What are the influence that your heart goes after? What does your heart yearn for? What are the desires of your heart? What are the dreams of your heart? Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard over your mouth Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do we pray that? Did we know that that was actually in the Word of God, the Bible? Set a guard over our mouth. Each morning we get up and we clean our teeth and we protect our teeth with fluoride and toothpaste to protect it. But do we guard our mouth? Do we protect our mouth from what we say, our attitudes, our everything, our emotions, our intellect, how we think, how we ponder things, how we mull over things, how we meditate on things? We're to keep watch on it, on the lips of our mouth. Do we do that, or do we just let our mouths go silly-willy? I said at the start, this all came about through a prophetic word that I released on the 28th of December, 21. I just want to read a part of it before I conclude. And the Lord says that communication is one area that we can all work on to improve and improve in. We must all strive to communicate clearly, truthfully, and lovingly. We must communicate in a way that glorifies God and reflects Christ. As the darkness rises and becomes even darker and more deluding, be wise in your speech, your videos messaging, in your texting, in your everyday communication. Be aware that the enemy is poised like a raging bull, straining to be released and ready to twist, control, and manipulate your speech and your communication. Guard your hearts, your minds, and your tongues so that the enemy is not able to find anything to twist. Keep your hearts and minds pure, always trusting, always believing that I will fight your battles. Be astute so that the enemy is not able to find anything to twist. Keep your hearts pure, always trusting, always believing that I will fight your battles. Be astute so that the enemy will not be able to remove your words or your testimony with his blatant lies that he spreads liberally through without thought or remorse. It was a word that was for nations and that I spoke, and there's a bit more as well. But that was the communication. I just saw that the communication that the enemy is wanting to twist our communication in every shape, form, and fashion. Twist our messages, twist our texting, and stop communication from one nation to another nation, stop transferring this to that, and so on. And today we're seeing that more and more. And it's just not being underhanded, it's being more blatant and more blatant and more blatant. In these days that we live in, as I conclude, what we say, how we speak, how we put the word of God, the Lord that has been given to us to speak, what way are we going to share it? Loudly? Abruptly? Shamefully? Are we going to shout from the corners? Are we going to yell down people's throats harshly, condemningly? You're going to turn and, if you don't get saved, you know, you're going to burn in hell, and or judgmentally, or with retaliation. Or do we speak God's word in love, having 1 Corinthians chapter 13 woven into our very fabric of our lives, allowing the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the gentleness of God, the purity of God, the holiness of the Lord to flow out of our lives, that all can see that we are his disciples, that we become the sign and people wonder at the sign. We are a sign and a wonder to the nations, that we are communicators of God. We are communicators of God's love to mankind. Amen. Amen. Amen.